قائما على رأس الغلام وهو يفحص برجليه، بل حسين عليه السلام يقول: بعدا لقوم قتلوك.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. Our condolences to all the believers all across the world upon the martyrdom of the third divinely appointed Imam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In order to talk a little bit about the martyrdom and the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we decided to humbly invite Sheikh Muzaffar Haider from the United Kingdom to speak to us. So let's go ahead and invite him to the talk show. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Muzaffar Haider, and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Sheikh Muzaffar, the last time we had you on the talk show was a very beautiful, very fruitful discussion. And so we decided to invite you again, and we thank you for taking our invitation into consideration and coming. Again, talking about Imam Hussein alayhi salam, this beautiful character and persona in the history of humanity. We see certain attributes and characteristics in Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which, despite the passing of thousands of years, you still talk about it, and it's still really, it hits home, and you feel connected to it. So we wanted to talk about just a few of these characteristics. Namely, we want to start off with sacrifice and this idea of sacrifice. You had talked a little bit about it in the previous talk show, and I wanted to talk a little more about it. So talking about Imam Hussein and his sacrifice, in the name of Allah, I hand it over to you.
Well, it's actually one of the miracles, according to the ulama, it's one of the miracles of the tragedy of Karbala, that no matter how many times you talk about it, every time you talk about it, it's as if it's something fresh and new, and it causes you to break into tears, and it really is a fascinating thing.
So as if it happened today.
As if it happened just yesterday. I mean, on the 9th of Muharram, you wake up and you realize that tomorrow is Ashura, and you feel like you're going to an event that has just taken place.
Yes.
Yeah. I think the more your spirituality increases, the more the effect of that will also increase, I'm assuming.
Sure.
Right? So let's talk about the idea that for some people, it's just about the tears. So for some people, that is the entire message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They go to Arba'een with this intention. They go and do majalis with this intention. They will do whatever social media activities they're involved with this intention. It's not just about the tears, though, is it?
Right.
It's something much, much more than that.
Right.
I remember it said before that unfortunately for a lot of Muslims, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is becoming like a Jesus type figure, or has become like a Jesus type figure, if you accept.
Or is being pushed as a Jesus like figure.
By certain segments in the community, unfortunately.
I would even say outside the community, because I know we're kind of jumping ahead into the discussion, but perhaps the biggest disservice to Imam Hussein alayhi salam is to merely remember his tragedy, but not bother to remember why this tragedy occurred. What it was that led to this tragedy, or what was it that Imam Hussein sacrificed all this for, which resulted in tragedy, right? So, for example, he had a mission, and in order to fulfill that mission, this tragedy occurred. So what you're saying is what happening is that people are forgetting the mission, they're only focusing on the tragedy.
I think it might have been better for you to have Sheikh Ali Qumi on this show, because he actually gave a speech about this, but if anything that I say, I'll probably be stealing it from what he said and our discussions as well.
Borrowing.
But there are some really interesting points to be made in this regard. So, for some people, the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is just an event. It's just something that took place, and we're crying for it, we're commemorating it, that's it.
Yes.
But the reality behind the tragedy of Karbala is that it was a movement.
Sure.
It was a spark, and that spark it has continued to ignite and it's becoming more and more of a fire. You know the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, where he said there is going to be a heat in the hearts of a group of the mu'mineen, and that because of the tragedy of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and that heat will never subside up until the Day of Judgment.
Yes.
So if we extrapolate from that, bearing in mind that the Holy Prophet said this, obviously, in his own lifetime,
right?
Before Imam Hussein alayhi salam was even, you know, he wasn't grown. He hadn't even grown into the man that we know as Imam Hussein alayhi salam. There is this heat. Okay, now, what is this heat? For some people, this heat is simply a pain. It's simply a sorrow, and that's it. It makes us cry, it makes us weep, and it makes us cause others to cry and weep, but that's where the story ends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we have that mentality, mm-hmm. let's ask ourselves, what are we perceiving for the future in regards to the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Is our mission just to get the entire world to cry for Imam Hussein? When we say that we want to spread the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, is it simply that we just want to see majalis taking place all over the world? When Muharram kicks in, let's say 100 years from now, when the entire world becomes comes towards Islam, you know, afwaja, as the Quran says, in great multitudes, in groups, is that all we want to see? You know, streets draped in black, black flags, and we want to see lots of people reciting poetry in multiple different languages. That's beautiful, and that's definitely a part of what we want to see in the world. But is that where the story ends?
Mm-hmm.
The answer,
mm-hmm.
of course, is absolutely not.
That's where the story begins.
Begins, right? Look at... Okay, I'll come to that in a moment, but what we really want to accomplish is the recognition of the fact that the tragedy of Karbala was a movement, and we are now part of that movement.
Yes.
What was that movement? It was a movement to say no, la. It's going back to the original statement of Islam, la ilaha illallah. There is no God except Allah. And if you take that to the political sphere, essentially what we're saying is there is no authority over human beings except that which has been approved by Allah. We're saying that we want to take things back to the way that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam originally intended it to be.
Yes.
Right? Islam was deviated right after the demise of the Holy Prophet. Right? We take it from Ghadir, and then we take it to Karbala. We see that this whole deviation has caused the entire world to just fall into various different groups and sects and all sorts of factions. All, you know, farihun. They're all just happy and rejoicing in what they think that they have. This is not the way the world is supposed to be. Right? When you see that there are tyrannical powers who nobody challenges, and even if somebody does challenge them, it's just completely ignored. This is not the way the world is supposed to be. Dear brothers and sisters, and we have to emphasize this, I feel, to Generation Z, to the kids, our kids actually, to those kids who are around 10 and below that age. Guys, this is not the way the world is supposed to be.
Right.
Poverty is not supposed to be this high. People are not supposed to be suffering. Depression is not supposed to be this. Divorce rates are not supposed to be skyrocketing the way they are. The LGBT issues, which have taken the world like a disease, this is not the way the world is supposed to be. And so, what the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is supposed to do is inspire us with this absolute agony and pain inside to say, no, enough is enough. Only God has rulership. I wanted to give you a quick hadith here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really fascinating hadith. So just to remind the audiences, do you remember when Ibrahim, the father of monotheism, the great prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? You all know the story. It's in the Quran as well. The story is that Ibrahim alayhi salam goes into the society and he smashes all the idols.
Right.
He leaves the biggest of the idols and he puts the axe in the biggest idol's hand. The people come and they grab him and they say, who is it that broke the idols? Did you break the idols? Ibrahim says, why don't you ask the biggest idol?
The one who has the axe in his hand.
The one who has the axe in his hand, if he can speak. Okay? And through this, he was making them aware that, look, these idols have no power. Mm. They have no strength. They don't have the ability to control or manipulate you in any way, except that which you give to them. Of course, in this, there's a wider there's a wider context about authority figures having no power over you. Do you think the British government has power over you? No, they don't. The American government has power. No, they only have power over you. The police, they have whatever power you choose to give them. Mm-hmm. That's the tragedy of what we're living. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I wanted to go back to the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know what inspired him to go and smash those idols? He didn't just do it out of the blue.
Right.
Obviously, he's been discussing with these people. He's been trying to argue with them. Why didn't he just continue to argue with them? What inspired him to just say, enough is enough. I'm going to go and smash them all. I don't care if anybody listens or not. I'm going to make this hujjah complete on them. What made him do it? Mm-hmm, yeah. There's one hadith that says that Allah revealed to Prophet Ibrahim what his progeny would do with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And so he had a vision and he was informed of that terrible massacre that would take place in the desert of Karbala. When he saw this and he recognized that this is the outcome of all of my labors, this is the fruit of all of my efforts, it enraged him, it angered him, it inspired him to go into the society and smash those idols.
Sure.
Now, coming back to us, the question is, where is that rage? It's not just about sorrow, it's a rage. Imam Khomeini, you know, he says that these tears are like a flood that will wash away the taghut, it will wash away the injustice of the world.
Yes.
Where is that flood water?
Right.
You know, even when it comes to communities back in the West, because I grew up in London, I remember always thinking, why is it that we go into an enclosed room, completely closed off, you know, it's usually like a basement type of atmosphere, everything's just blackened out, and we do our majalis, we cry, we mourn, we recite poetry, we do the nohas or latmiyas, we have a lecture, and then we cry, we leave. We get our food and we leave. Where is the spillover? You know, where are we going to, you know, start spreading and moving the message forward? Honestly, if youths out there went out into the streets, and I'm talking about anywhere in the world, everywhere in the world, in fact, go out into the streets, start handing out leaflets about Imam Hussein, present him as he is, show that he is a beacon of resistance, show that he inspires us to sacrifice anything and everything on the path of justice. Do you really think that in today's climate, where non-Muslims can see just how unjust the tyrannical rulers are, and they're looking for a way out, but they have no direction, do you really think that if you were to offer them the path of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they wouldn't accept it? Really?
Yes.
If you say that you don't think that they will accept it, then that shows how weak your own faith is in that movement. Actually, it shows
that movement has been moving people for thousands of years.
It has been, alhamdulillah.
So, I mean, we had started the talk show with this idea of sacrifice, and so I kind of wanted to maybe close it off with this idea of sacrifice, and you brought it up, you know, was this idea of where is this movement, where is this sacrifice for the cause of Allah, for the cause and the mission of Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, if you want to...
Well, I think we talked about it previously as well, but the main...
Well, previously what you had said, I remember, because it was very profound, it was this idea that before Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, perhaps there was this space for an individual to say, well, I'll sacrifice myself, I'll sacrifice my private, personal, you know, belongings or time or things like that, but when it comes to my spouse or my children, you know, why should I sacrifice them? I shouldn't put them in danger. They're separate than I am, you know. And that Imam Hussein alayhi salam totally, I don't know, brought down this idea broke this barrier, you know, where he said that, no, for the cause of Allah, you not only sacrifice yourself, you sacrifice everything that you have, your family, you know, your friends, your brother,
your brother, property, your sister, your child, wealth, your wife, your...
But I want to add something in this one that we didn't have in the previous talk show, and that is that you also have to prepare these individuals to also be willing to sacrifice, right? So it's not like... we don't want it to sound like, well, Imam Hussein took, you know, Ali Asghar and said, I'm forcing you. You know, or he took Ali Akbar and said, okay, you need to come here, son, and sacrifice yourself. That's not what's happening. Is there's two levels. One level is him willing to sacrifice his son. And two, what you see is his son willing to sacrifice himself as well, right? His son willing to die for the cause of Allah.
Yeah.
I try to use the word sacrifice very carefully. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam willing to die for the cause of Allah, you know? So this idea of training and nurturing your family.
Well, it's all Quran, ahead, yeah. really. It's just completely Quran.
MashaAllah.
Because look, the Quran talks about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. It says that Allah inspired him with a dream and he goes to his son, Ismail. He says to Ismail, look, I've had a dream. Allah is saying that I'm sacrificing you.
Mm-hmm.
What does Ismail reply with? He says, do as Allah bids you, mm-hmm. right?
Ahsant, yeah.
And so we have to recognize that the youths of Karbala were raised on the Quran.
Yes.
And this is what we're talking about when, this is what the scholars are talking about actually, whenever they say, don't just read the Quran, act upon the Quran.
Right.
So for a normal person who'll read it and he'll be like, oh, that's nice, it's a nice story, Ibrahim sacrificed his son. No. But for a person who's Karbalai, who has that Karbalai and Husseini spirit, when he reads the Quran, he's going to read it and think about what I can implement. What can I implement? He sees it and he says, okay, this means that if my father or my authority figure wants to sacrifice me for the cause, I will be more than willing and ready to do it.
Yes.
Where do we see this in Karbala? We see it with Ali ibn Akbar. We see it with Qasim,
yes.
alayhi salam.
Yes.
Qasim is the son of Imam Hassan, alayhi salam. Sometimes you think that Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, he's in the battlefield. He must have missed his grandfather. He must have thoroughly been missing Rasulullah. He must have been missing his father, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam. He must have been missing his mother, Fatima. And he must have been missing his brother. His brother, you know, you want that brotherly figure on your side.
Yes.
He had Abbas, but remember, Abbas is a younger brother. It's different to have an older brother. Hassan, alayhi salam, was that older brother. So sometimes I think maybe he turned around and he saw something that he thought was Hassan. It wasn't. It was Qasim, this young boy. He was 13 years old. Remember, when Imam Hussein asked him, how do you find death? He said, on your path, I find it sweeter than honey.
Yes.
Again, these are not just stories. These are things that we need to practically implement into our lives. We need to be ready and willing to make such a sacrifice. And to further emphasize just how practical this really is, it's not just stories, it's practical.
Yes.
Look at the Islamic Revolution.
Sure.
Look at those young boys who went out to fight in defense of the Islamic Republic, who went to fight against Saddam. Saddam was being backed by all the Yazidis and all the Shimmers and all the Umar ibn Sa'ids of the time. America, England, France, Germany, you name it, right? They were all backing Saddam. So there was really practically no hope of winning.
Right.
How can you win against all of those?
You can't, yeah.
And there, you had 13-year-old boys. You had 14-year-old boys, 15-year-old boys, whose stories will bring tears to my eyes if I mention them or recount them.
Yeah.
But what made them do that? There was one who was interviewed by a Western media outlet. Why are you here? Why are you fighting? You're so young. You should be at home playing football in the streets. He said, well, I'm going to win. They said, what do you mean you're going to win? He said, well, because if I get killed in this battle, I get killed and I get shaheed. And that's the biggest victory for me. And if I win, I win. If we win the battle and we defeat them, we win anyway. So either way, I'm going to win.
MashaAllah.
Mm. Right? The West trains you to think of such an attitude as brainwashed, as radicalized. They use this terminology very loosely, very easily, very calmly. Look, this is Islam, guys.
This is faith.
This is actual faith. Until you are ready and willing to make a sacrifice for your deen, why are you saying that you believe? What do you believe in? Faith, according to Imam Khamenei, and according to the Quran actually, is nothing but action.
Yes.
Right? It's not just, oh, I believe in my head. No, it's not that. It is not that. Go back to the Quran. It continuously, it says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who believe and do good deeds. It's like these two things are interrelated and connected. You can't separate them.
Yes.
So if you say, I believe, but you don't have action to accompany it, it what does it mean? Right?
Yeah.
So if we're saying that we believe that Ibrahim alayhi salam made a true sacrifice for the sake of Allah, we have to also make an action, like the action of his son Ismail, where we're willing and ready to sacrifice ourselves and our sons. If we're saying that we believe Imam Hussein alayhi salam was on the right path and he was on haq, and Qasim alayhi salam and Abbas and Ali ibn Akbar and all of these figures of Karbala were on haq, they were on truth. If we're saying we believe that, we also need to act on that path to confirm that we truly do believe it. Without the sacrifice, it doesn't mean much.
Ahsan, thank you. Jazakallah khair wa afiyah, Sheikh Muzaffar Haider, for taking time out, joining us on the talk show. It was an honor. May Allah not let this be our last talk show over Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Thank you so much. And dear viewers, thank you for joining us. Peace and blessings upon you all. Until another talk show, that's all from us. Fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.